Like to begin by reading our passage from Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, which records another instance in the life of our Lord Jesus, an opportunity for him to teach us about the nature of love. And the passage that I'm going to read begins in the 25th verse of Luke chapter 10. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he, answering, said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now, of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise." Let's take a moment and consider what has happened in this narrative that we've read here. This passage of Scripture has described an opportunity that Jesus had to teach this man that is described as a lawyer. He had an opportunity to teach him about love to God and to our neighbor. This passage begins by describing how a lawyer, it says, stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This account begins right off the bat with this man trying to test Jesus, trying to, in essence, put him to the test, perhaps again to try to trap him in his words or show the limits of Jesus's knowledge or understanding or whatever the reason is. He's trying to test Jesus, and he tests him with this question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, a lawyer in this context is not exactly like what we talk about today as a lawyer, someone who studies the laws of the land in order to try things in cases. This lawyer would have been, the law that he would have spent his life studying was the law of God as contained in the Scriptures. This was someone who would have been intimately familiar, having dedicated his life to studying the Bible, studying the what we call the Old Testament, studying the laws from Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and in the prophets, and would have had an intricate knowledge of the law. And it's from this place that he tests Jesus. He tests Jesus, but Jesus, as he often did, he responds to this man, to the question, by asking a question, because he's going to dig deep into the heart of the question that this man asked, which was, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a very fundamental question that this man asked Jesus. He asked him basically, "What do I need to do in this life to be able to have the thing that is of most value, eternal life? What do I need to do in this life so that I could live forever and experience the blessings and the privileges of the favor of God?" And he asks him this question: what do I do that I shall do to inherit eternal life? Well, this is really getting to the heart of the answer to the core problem of humanity, which is that by sin, death has entered into the world. And so in the law is given the way of life and truth and following God. It says of the law that he that does those things shall live in them. And so Jesus turns his attention to the very thing that this man would have spent his life studying, and that is the law of God. And he says, what do you read in the law? What's there? What does it say in the law that you've been studying your whole life? And this man answers, and he answers not by trying to quote the entirety of the law. I mean, the law was recognized by the rabbis and teachers of the time to have hundreds of commandments. We sometimes talk about the Ten Commandments, and there are Ten Commandments that were written on the tablets of stone and stored in the Ark of the Covenant. But there was recognized by the teachers of the people that there were not just Ten Commandments, but there were hundreds. There were over, I believe, something like over 600 commandments in the law. And yet this lawyer doesn't respond by saying, obey these 600 commandments. He goes to two commandments in particular. And now you'll see why I chose the passages of Scripture that I chose for our Scripture reading, because it's from these passages that these commandments come. And they really distill down to two commandments: love God and love your neighbor. This was a very good answer from this lawyer. This demonstrates that he had a profound understanding of the law. In fact, when Jesus himself was asked in another place the question, what is the greatest commandment of the law? This is the kind of question you might ask to a teacher. You might ask to someone who was knowledgeable, and Jesus was seen as a teacher and knowledgeable and a prophet, and more than a prophet. And so he was once asked this question: what is the greatest commandment in the law? If we were to try to pick from all of the great commandments, you shall not make a graven image, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, all of these things. If you were to try to pick from everything, what would be the greatest commandment? Well, here's how Jesus answered. He gave an answer to that question and a bonus answer as well. He said, the greatest commandment of all the commandments is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So he answered the question. The greatest commandment is to love God. To love God with all of your being. And so if you are doing that, if you can do that, then you are really capturing the fullness of all that the law gives. But Jesus didn't stop there. He gave even more than was asked. He also gave the greatest commandment. In other words, they were in essence asking him, of all the commandments, which commandment wins the gold medal for the greatest commandment? And Jesus gave him the gold medal commandment and the silver medal commandment, because he tells him the greatest is love God, but the second is like unto it, and it is this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the first great commandment is to love God, and the second is to love your neighbor. And Jesus not only ranks these as the two greatest, but he ties them together and says they're like unto one another. That is, they are very closely tied together. In other words, it is perhaps impossible to obey one of these and not to obey the other. For if we truly love God, then we will also love our neighbor as we ought to love our neighbor. And if we are truly loving our neighbor, it must be because we have love in our heart, and that love must flow from our love for God, which has its source in God's love for us. So all these things tie so neatly and closely together. And so this, all that to say, that this answer that this man gives, at least on the surface, and we're going to dig into his heart more here, but on the surface, this answer that this man gives is a very good answer. This is the essence of the law. And so Jesus, in hearing this, he says to him, "You answered right. You've given the right answer. This do, and thou shalt live." And we might look at that and say, okay, the question has been perfectly answered. There's nothing really more to try to figure out or try to resolve. Jesus is ready to send him on his way, or at least that's how it appears, with a clear and concise answer to this question. However, if you begin to consider the task of living this out perfectly, of living out the duty of loving God with all of our being and loving our neighbor as ourself, then you might begin to come up against a problem. If this is what is required of you, which of you has done or will do this to the perfect standard that God requires? And so we have another problem. If this is what is required, how might one do this? So Jesus answers, and as Jesus often did when he wanted to teach an important lesson to the people he was interacting with, as he did with Simon the Pharisee in the last week's message, in the passage we looked at there, Jesus teaches by telling a story that illustrates, that demonstrates the lesson that he wants to get across. And so he tells this story about the story that is often referred to as the story of the Good Samaritan, because in this story, what happens is that a man who's on a journey falls among thieves. He gets beat up. He gets left half dead on the side of the road, all his money stolen, and him left to bleed out and die on the side of the street. And in this condition, three men come upon him. The first two are a priest and a Levite, and the third is a Samaritan. Now, a priest and a Levite, a priest was someone who is descended from Aaron, the first high priest of the nation of Israel. He was someone who had the very esteemed and particular duty to represent the people before God and represent God before the people, to offer sacrifices, to enter into the holy places in the temple, and to be a leader among the people of worshiping God. The Levites, likewise, they were descendants from the tribe of Levi. That tribe was set apart specifically to serve in the temple, to serve the worship of God all their days. And so both of these men who walk by at first, these are people that would have had a good understanding of God's law. They were people whose lives were dedicated to the service of God. And so we might think of it, if we were to try to put it in our own context or think about it today, it would be almost like saying perhaps a pastor and a deacon walked by and they come upon this man and they both do the same thing. When they see this man bleeding on the side of the road, left for dead, they cross the street and they walk by on the other side, leaving him where he is. But then a Samaritan comes. Now, who were these Samaritans? Well, this is what Jesus is saying. You know, we have a phrase today, we talk about a good Samaritan. And when we say the phrase good Samaritan, we are talking about somebody who is doing something kind and generous to help someone in need. And there's actually a kind of irony to the fact that that has taken on that meaning in our common language, but it's because of this story that Jesus tells. Because let me tell you, in the time Jesus was telling this, that was not there was not a positive connotation to the people about the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a group of people that when the 10 tribes of Israel were brought into captivity in the, about 500 years before this took place, and they were exiled from the land, and the Syrians or the Babylonians, they sent people back in to repopulate the land of Israel, and they had different customs and different lineage from the people of Israel that had been there. They had they had been placed here, and they were the enemies of the people of Israel. They were people that the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not get along with each other. This is demonstrated in the scriptures on a few different occasions, but one of them is when Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. It's described in John chapter 4. He starts to talk to this Samaritan woman, and she is surprised that he is even talking to her. And the reason she is surprised is because it says the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. These were people that did not like each other, didn't get along. They would not even sit down and eat a meal together. And in fact, even just Jesus talking to this woman at a well was shocking because of how much animosity there was between these two groups of people. And this is who Jesus chooses to use as the example of someone who is demonstrating love, is a Samaritan that's passing by. So make no mistake about it, the story that Jesus tells to this man would have been shocking to the one who is hearing it. So he tells him the story, and then he asks him, as he often did, he asked him to interpret it himself. He asks the man by his own words to express the interpretation of what had been said. And he says, tell me, which of these was a neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. So this is basically what we have heard described in this passage. Now, with these things in mind, let us consider a few lessons from what we have read. For the first lesson that I believe we've already seen and is clearly demonstrated here is that there is an unbreakable and intimate connection between loving God and loving our neighbor. You can't have one without the other. They are tied together. They are united. And so to love God means to also love our neighbor. It means to love those that God has made in his image, and to love the image of God in people. Even though people are fallen and sinners and will offend us and sometimes do wrong to us, we are still called to love one another, and that love would flow from our love of God. We might think perhaps it's easy to love God, but hard to love our neighbor because God is perfect, and our neighbor might offend us and sin against us. But John writes, he says, in another place, he says, if you can't love your neighbor whom you have seen, how can you love God who is unseen? And this makes so much sense if you consider that the way that we often think about love is not right. We often think about love as the warm feeling that we feel towards someone who makes us happy. But this isn't all that there is to love. Love is not just about a warm feeling that we feel to someone who makes us happy. If this was the case, then it might be easier to love God who we haven't seen than it is to love our neighbor who we have seen. But love is about action. It's about showing mercy. It's about showing compassion. Love is about the kind of activity that this Samaritan did, where he saw this man on the side of the road, left for dead, and he, it says, had compassion on him. So we're called to love God who we have not seen, but also to love our neighbor who we have seen. And so we see the intimate connection between loving God and loving our neighbor. We also see that the law of God is fulfilled in these things. The commandments themselves, all the those hundreds of commandments I mentioned, really, they can be summarized and they are embodied in these commandments. That's because if we love God and we love our neighbor, for example, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to murder your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's goods or so on. In other words, that love leads to obedience to all the other many commandments. If you love God, you're not going to make a graven image of a false god and worship that false god. And so if you love God, you're not going to use God's name in vain or carry his name with you in vain. And so to obey these commandments is to fulfill the law. And then we see, also here, we see the human tendency for us to want to justify ourselves. This is a common tendency to try to justify ourselves. This is what this man does in response to this. I mean, Jesus has given him a very clear and direct answer. He said, you want to inherit eternal life? Well, all you need to do is obey the law. Obey what's written there. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. It's very straightforward. It's very simple. And yet everyone knows in their heart that they do not do this perfectly. But this man desired, it says, he was willing to justify himself. There's only one place where true justification comes from, and that is from God. If we realize our sin and our need of a Savior, then we understand that only God can make a sinner righteous, that we need a righteousness that comes from outside of ourselves. We need it to be given to us as a gift from God because we recognize our own failure to earn it, that we cannot justify ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous. But here's how this man wanted to try to justify himself, to establish his own righteousness. He wanted to do so by drawing a convenient boundary around the commandments that God had given so that he was able to not break those commandments. And this is a common tendency that Jesus was often coming up against in the people that opposed him, as they had spent so much effort and so much time trying to establish the boundaries around the commandments so that they could make sure that they didn't break them. The Sabbath commandment, for example, they had down to the number of steps or the length of the journey that you could take where it was okay and you wouldn't be breaking the commandment not to honor the Sabbath. They had it down to the particulars so that they could be sure in their understanding that they were keeping the commandments of God. But keeping the commandments of God is not primarily about figuring out where the boundaries are so that we can figure out how far we can go without breaking those commandments. Keeping God's commandments is about striving for obedience. It's about striving for holiness. It's about desiring in our hearts to serve God, not trying to figure out where the boundaries are. And that's what this man was doing. He asked Jesus a question in response. Okay, I have to love God and I have to love my neighbor. So he asked, who is my neighbor? You know, if he could get an answer to this question, it would really add a lot of clarity to how to obey this. Because if he could find out who is my neighbor, then he could also find out who is not my neighbor. And if I know who my neighbor is, I know whom I need to love and whom I don't need to love. And so Jesus' answer turns that question entirely on its head. And I don't know if you noticed that when we first read through it, but Jesus, he spins it around 180 degrees. He doesn't answer the question the way it was asked. He doesn't answer the question, who is my neighbor? He answers the question, or he asks the question, in essence, and answers the question of who was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. See, he's turning it around and he's showing us how we ought to look at love, that it shouldn't be a question of trying to figure out who's my neighbor, who am I obligated to love, and who am I not obligated to love. He spins it around and asks them, who of the three that passed by this man, wounded and left for dead on the side of the road, who was a neighbor unto him? And so we see, as we look at the story that Jesus tells about this man who's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, he falls among thieves, they strip him of his clothes, they wound him, and they depart, and they leave him for dead on the side of the road. The priest passed by on the other side, the Levite passed by on the other side, but it says a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He saw this man he did not know, a man who was of another group of people entirely, a man who was beaten, wounded, in need, had nothing to offer him, and he showed compassion on him. He saw him, and his heart overflowed with compassion, and he goes to him, and he binds up his wounds. He gives him medicine. He takes him to the inn, and he pays what's needed so that he could have everything that was needed. He brings him to the inn. He takes him to the host. He says, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then Jesus asks, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Even this lawyer, he's astute enough to be able to see that it was this Samaritan who showed mercy upon the man in need, who was the one who was a neighbor, the one who showed him love. And so Jesus, through this, teaches us how we ought to love, how we ought to love, because he sends him away with this. Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Lastly, we also learn something else from what has been described here. We learn again another example of the kind of love and mercy that has been showed to us by God. In many ways, spiritually, we're like this man that fell among the thieves. Spiritually, we've been beaten down, we've been impoverished, we have nothing to offer. We're wounded and we're left half dead on the side of the road when God comes with his mercy and he sees us and he has compassion upon us. This is what God has done with humanity. He saw us in our state, beaten, broken, stripped of our clothes, wounded on the side of the road. And when he saw us, he had compassion on us. When he saw us, he had compassion. I think of all the times that it describes how Jesus, when he was here and he was walking the earth, how he looked out and he looked at the crowds of people, people that thronged around him, that were with him often when things were going well and forsook him at times when things weren't going well. But he looked at them and he looked at the crowds of people, and it says that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And that's how he sees you and how he sees me. When he sees us in our spiritual need, he looks upon us and he looks upon us with compassion. He sees that apart from his shepherding care, we're like sheep without a shepherd. We're lost. We're hungry, we're alone, and yet we are not alone because of the great love that he has for us. And he, like the Samaritan, he comes and he binds up our wounds and he heals us and he pays the price and he pays the cost that we need for our recovery and our restoration. And so we can with this in mind of the great love and compassion that God, through his Son Jesus, has shown to us, we can consider and live out the command that he has given to go and do thou likewise, to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself.